A businessman from Troy, New York, named Sam Wilson, brought barrels of beef that he supplied to the army during the War of 1812. They were stamped United States to indicate government property. That identification is said to have led to the widespread use of the nickname Uncle Sam for the United States. We have Uncle Sam. We also have Uncle Roger joining us tonight.
What's up, guys?
So Troy, New York's own...
So that's where Uncle Sam comes from?
Oh, it sure does. I don't know. Roger, tell us a little bit. You're from Troy. That was the connection.
Born and raised, man. So like you said, he was a butcher. And he would ship out all the meat to the troops. He was born and raised here. He's buried here. Freer Park, the city of Troy's logo is Uncle Sam. Freer Park's logo is Uncle Sam. He's literally buried within a quarter mile from the golf course that we play at. So, yeah, he's got a lot of ties to the city of Troy, man. It's crazy. People don't know that. And when I tell them, they're like, yeah, right. But true story.
I didn't know that was where Uncle Sam came from. I mean, I obviously didn't know that story, but I also had no idea that's where like Uncle Sam originated. And that's why. Of course, it would be meat related. That makes sense for us.
And a lot of people think he's like a fictional character, you know, like a Paul Bunyan type thing. But
so there's a similar type of story for Buffalo Bill. When I lived in Colorado, I went and it's like up on the top of a random mountain. It's just his grave is there. And I don't even know the whole backstory, but like some people believe he's real and some people don't. So you just, it depends on who you talk to.
Right.
That's wild. Good poll, Gibby.
Buffalo Bill, or is that?
Buffalo Bill's a real, well, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'm kidding.
I know that he's there.
All right. We're carrying the lead. Roger, welcome. Well, I would say welcome back, but you were gracious enough to host Maddie and I on our first guest spot.
Little home and home.
So, yeah. So a little bit of like the you know, we're crossing paths.
Streams.
You just told us a crazy story backstage about your friend Hank.
Yeah.
And I'd love if you would share it with the listeners. You were out on the course today and want to get a little sense of
what happened. So we're out there golfing today. And we're the pitch putt and puff crew. So we were out there and we got into some of the stuff today, and I don't know if Hank just had too much or what the case was, really. To get, I don't want to get too much detail of that, but he had a little incident. So he didn't even want to hit his tee shot at the third hole. I hit mine up to the right. Fairway Mike, who I always play with, he piped one down the middle, as he always does, Fairway Mike. And
it's the best nickname.
I start driving up to my ball. Fairway's walking back to the car because he plays from the senior tee. So we head up and I hear him yelling to me, like, and he's a real like crazy individual as it is. So like first initial yell, okay, what's up, Mike? But with the way he was yelling was a different tone, so I knew something was off.
Yeah.
And Hank actually, he passed out in the cart, and it was to the point where by the time I got over there, he wasn't breathing for a few seconds. So like when you're on the golf course, man, I'll tell you, I've been through some shit in my day, but this was like, it was scary. It was one of those things where I locked in like tunnel vision. Like there was 50 people on that golf course around us where we were at that point. But all I seen was within that, you know, 3 feet in front of me kind of thing. And just like stuff you remember from like, I took a CPR class, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, but like little stupid stuff that I remember from that class. I'm calling 911 and this guy's telling me like I'm doing what he's telling me to do already without him really having to tell me to do it. I'm like, oh shit, I know what I'm kind of doing here for a second. But like the panic of it, like I had my hand on his chest to see if he was breathing, if his heart was pumped, like if I could feel a heartbeat, all this crazy shit. And then like he finally came to, thank God. The ambulance checked him out and everything. He's got a history of like fainting in the past. So we don't know if it was just one of an incident. We don't know if it was, you know, smoking something, whatever.
Yeah,
but
He's older, right? He's a little bit older.
Yeah, he's
right?
He's almost 60.
So you never know at that point. Anything
you
goes.
Never know. Like it could be. I don't know if he had health problems in the family. He's a pretty healthy guy for his age. he's active all year round. He goes to the gym all year. He's out walking. Yeah. He walks the golf course a lot too. Yeah. So
me too. That's how I talk myself into working out.
Yeah. It was just one of those things that it's just a wake up call. You realize how quick shit could be taken away from you. And when you're being involved in something like that was like trying to line up a putt. Good luck.
You did the hard work. You saved a life today. All right. Yeah, so
I made the phone call. He came back. Thank God. Like he was Casper White, like almost turning blue kind of thing. It was scary, man. It was a real scary moment.
No, got you down at a set. You shot 72 today, as far as I'm concerned.
I actually shot pretty well until I had to leave. I was on pace for a low 80 round today, but we didn't finish up. I had to take off a little early to get the school bus. So I had two holes to go and I couldn't do it. But we were delayed about 45 minutes,
yeah,
an hour to that incident. Otherwise, I would have whipped right through. Went into work early. I went into work at like 2:30 this morning so I could get to my 11 o'clock tee time.
What did you shoot on 4? And I don't know if I want to know.
Oh, it was the third hole. It was the third hole. I think I shot like a 6 or 7 on that hole.
Score for the hole too.
Yeah, we got close enough and picked up kind of thing because it was just one of the. We hopped in between some groups and everybody seen what was going on. So like, guys, if you're gonna keep playing, go ahead. Like,
yeah,
whatever you need, kind of thing. It was crazy.
So we were on our golf trip, and with a couple guys, and there was a group ahead of us that let us go in front of them. And they said it was a first aid issue. And they said, move past us. But the first aid issue was like a 65-year-old guy needed to go to the bathroom. so not quite the same thing.
That's unacceptable on a golf course. It's one big bathroom. You got to find a way, right? That's half the battle.
Yeah. It's crazy, too, because that like last year someone passed away on the golf course because of a heart attack like early on in the year. Like it happens out there. I mean, there's a lot of older guys that play out there trying to walk up and down hills. They're not, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
It's scary.
You never know.
Yep.
Well, you got to milk every second. You got to milk every second you got. Yep. You just never know, especially if you're out there moving around. There's people that are like crazy healthy who just dropped it. You never know.
Yeah. Don't know. It's crazy.
Can't predict.
So we just finished up the Masters.
We did.
And I wanted to get some of your takeaways, Maddie. We haven't really touched on this. I mean, obviously Scotty is elite. Anything else that you took away, Roger, too, from the Masters, like some of the players or just the pomp and circumstance behind it?
So that tournament was lost after the 11th hole on the final day. After that, too, Morikawa and what's his name? The young kid, Aberg or whatever his name was.
Aberg,
Still not 100% sure how to pronounce it. It might be Abear.
It can be whatever we want.
Okay,
Enough construction today. After they hit the ball in the water on 11, they had no chance. If they didn't do that and struck gold on that hole on 11, even a par to keep it a race, it makes it so much. Like I turned it off after the 13th hole because I knew it was over. Like Scotty was too good. He's too good right now.
It did take away. There was no drama, which you want coming up. Coming up 16, 17, 18, if you can get it. On the other hand, you know, it's nice that we've got somebody that all these guys need to chase now, but I feel like it's very distracting with all the live stuff. So I don't even know who but there's a good crop of like young dudes like Hebert coming up and, you know, they're all in contention every week, but it's very clear that he's in a class of his own right now. Like there's nobody else.
I felt like, and you mentioned the 11th hole, I felt like it was over Saturday. No one took advantage when Scotty wasn't even playing well. And no one could get up by 2 strokes. And I thought that's what you needed to do going into Sunday. I was pretty steadfast in that.
And DeChambeau, man, he's got to do something with that putter. He couldn't putt.
It's so distracting to watch.
You know, it wasn't lost on me that he played his best round there. And the only round he played well was day one when the course was soaked and he was just dropping balls on the green and they were just sticking. And then he played like crap from there. Like it's a gimmick. He's a gimmick. He was such an easy. I wish I had bet him to. There was no way to do this, but like there was no chance he was winning. I wish I could reverse bet him winning after Saturday, after Thursday, because when the conditions change and the wind, he was never going to be able to sustain that. He only hits one type of shot.
Yeah.
I think he needs to lean into like being a villain.
I think Aaron Rodgers to be a villain.
Aaron Rodgers has done it. And like, he's great at it. I want DeChambeau to like just be hated by
I think everyone. He's too goofy, dude. He's too goofy, and people don't actually hate him.
I know. I don't think he's got the mentality to handle that either.
No.
Like Aaron Rodgers is that I don't give a shit kind of guy.
Yeah. But you can all the way swear.
Today he's talking about the government created HIV. So he's got what's the chance he just retires and doesn't even play this year?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Nothing at this point would. Nothing. Yeah.
No. Going on a ayahuasca trip and he's just like, oh, I'm good. Go hang out with Rogan.
I hope he plays for my Garrett Wilson shares, but you know, anything's possible with that guy. He's out of his mind. Do we have an idea who's going to be Hard Knocks this year? Do they have like a couple teams that.
So there are only two teams that are like, they can be
eligible
to do it.
Yeah.
One of them is the Chicago Bears.
Oh boy.
And the other one is a team out West.
Okay. So yeah,
the Denver
Broncos. We know which one of those it'll be. Okay. Yeah, well, almost Gibby. Yeah, nobody wants to see anything to do with that. There's nothing exciting. There's nothing exciting there. You would like that, but we'd lose you for the whole summer. I'd lose you for hours on end as you'd be
reading. Oh, it would be a mess.
Forensic files. Okay, good. Bears it is. Rick it is. Rick, you win.
So, Roger, you mentioned Fairway Mike. Mm-hmm. You also sent us a text after we joined your podcast, and it was electric. I rewatched the video four or five times. Tell us a little bit about Fairway Mike.
So it's funny because I actually grew up with him. He's got two sons about my age.
Okay.
And I grew up with those guys. I wasn't close to them or nothing, but like we lived in like cross neighborhoods. So where I grew up in Troy, it's like picture like New York City, how the different boroughs kind of thing. That's kind of how the neighborhoods are broken down. So we used to have we were teenagers in high school. We had a football tournament. So each neighborhood would have their own team. We'd play like an 8-on-8 game up at a local park. We'd find a neutral site. Everybody would go there. So he played in one of the other neighborhoods, which was close to mine. So we used to like scrimmage after school and all this other stuff. And I knew who his kids were, but I didn't know Fairway because he was on the road a lot. He was a truck driver. So he was down in Florida, all up and down the East Coast. And then I started playing in this golf league. This is my fourth year, and for whatever reason, for like the first 3 or 4 weeks of the golf league, I was in a group with, as crazy as this, Fairway Mike, Hank, were always in my group somehow. Like Hank's got match wouldn't show up the one day, so it'd be me and Fairway be playing our match, or the one day none of our matches showed up, so we already kind of knew each other a little bit, and we just played together kind of thing, and I started, that's right about the time I started doing the pitch, putt, and puff on the Sundays where we play. It's 8 to 12 guys. Everybody throws up a couple bucks. We go around, we pull our cards out. Whoever's got the matching cards, that's your team. Lowest score wins. And then this year we started doing an extra $5 for skins off, five on the front, five on the back kind of thing. Just some of the guys who are good golfers, it sucks, but they get, like my buddy JR, for example, shot an 80 this week. But he got paired with the guy who shot a 103. So he's out. Like, he played, had a great day, but he's out, you know? He got his money back because he won a couple skins. Luckily for myself, I matched up with the middle guy. I shot an 89, and my buddy Mark shot an 85. We ended up taking it home. So it's pretty cool how it works.
Do you guys do handicaps with that?
No,
like,
no handicap.
Okay.
We're all handicapped enough. So if you see in our golf games, you would understand.
We got a guy who doesn't believe in handicaps in our crew. He's like an 18, 19, and he wants a shot at our best golfer who's like a 6 without any handicaps. And we're trying to explain to him, there's no universe you are even going to come anywhere close to. Golf just doesn't work that way. There's no like underdog upsets of like 15 shots. Like it just
it doesn't happen.
He's steadfast. He refuses to relent on it, but we'll get him.
Yeah. So with the Friday night men's league I'm in, I ended up playing with those guys all the time. So I needed a couple people one weekend. I was playing with my other buddies all the time, and I needed a couple guys. So I asked these guys, I'm like, Hank, Fairway, let's, you know, come. I actually started the name Fairway in these first 3 weeks.
It's a great nickname.
I'm going to steal it for you, Gibby. Here be Fairway Mike. Junior.
I love it.
This guy literally did not miss a fairway every single time I ended up playing with him. He didn't miss. He was like 16 for whatever, you know, hit every one. Struggled on the par threes, but every fairway he's won. So Fairway Mike popped up.
That's
and he's
great.
He's the character, his favorite phrase, as you've seen in that video, hey man, he's always got his arms going like this.
When we first came, I was asking Gibby, because like when you first log into StreamYard, it's like whoever used it last sort of is the branding.
Yep.
And you know how you can save all of your intro, outro music? There's one just says, hey man, and I clicked it and it was just him saying that.
That's it. Yep. I'm trying to figure out how to put that like as my beginning every time.
Yeah, that's great. I love that.
Yeah. So I finally convinced him. He didn't want to come play in the pitch, putt, and putt for like the first 3 or 4 weekends. And then I finally convinced him to come play. And when I tell you this guy had the fucking time of his life, he was out there just hanging with the boys, something like camaraderie he didn't have in a while. Because like I said, he's older, so he didn't really have that crew like he used to. Yeah. And now it's to the point where like he's in our group text commenting every day. He's doing something goofy on the course. Like he'll drive by people waving like this. And it's just like, it's entertaining as shit for us.
But yeah.
He's such a good dude. Like he's the type of guy, if you're broken,
he's just living.
Side of the road. Hey, Mike, I mean, my tire's flat or I broke down. Can you come help me? Where are you? Kind of thing. He would drop what he's doing and come help you. He's just that kind of genuine dude.
Good people.
Even his kid hit me up one day and he's like, Raj, my father's having so much fun out there on the golf course.
That's cool.
He comes home and talks about it every night. And for someone older like that, to keep him going, keep him motivated, that's, you know, it's all worth like hanging with the guys.
That's how you keep young. That's how you stay young is you keep like relationships and friends. That's exactly how. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like the enduring theme, right, of golf. But, you know, like I get to play over the summer with my dad, like once every other week, and he's 78 years old or however old he is. I don't even know anymore, but like, that's one of the enduring things, right? Is you create these friendships and partnerships over the years that, that are really cool. I know he was on the podcast and there was a microphone issue on the video. I need the story because now that I've seen the video, like everything's connected and we got to post it.
I've really been working on trying to figure out the audio for when I do like the in-studio, because where we are, we kind of get an echo anyway, because it's a bigger space. So like, I'm really trying like, all right, I bought newer equipment, better equipment, like upgraded a microphone or two, like trying different things. And then like one day my co-host JR, he'll sound perfect. He'll sound like Joe Rogan. Then I sound like I'm in a phone booth.
Yeah.
But so this day I had 4 guys on there. I think Big Steve might've been on that episode or no, it was my buddy Bob. And we went golfing that weekend before. And he's telling his story and he's an old school South Troy Italian guy. And he's always talking with his hands. So he's got his hands like this and like going down, but he's got the microphone in his hand. So he's talking, but he's kind of loud, so you can hear it a little bit. But I keep pushing the microphone up to his mouth. Up to his mouth. And all he does is he doesn't put the mic up. He just looks at me. He doesn't even put the microphone up. He just keeps looking at me. At this point, I'm like
tapping it up too.
Yeah, the whole time. Like trying to be, then like even a couple times in the beginning, I'm like, Fairway, talking to the mic. I'm going to get him a headset, I think, like an old school operator. It's the only thing I can think of.
Because he'll do whatever you give him. He's just in. He's in for the – he doesn't know, but he's in to hang. Yeah.
He loves
it. It's awesome.
So it's Wednesday. He's coming on to tell the Hank story for this week. I'm trying to get – Hank doesn't want to come on the podcast, but I'm trying to get him on to talk about his experience. For the content purposes now, I know he's okay. It was trying to get those guys out, but we're doing like a 420 for, you know, pitch, putt, and putt. 420 is a Saturday. So dropping a Friday episode. And I got my sponsor, my local dispensary, who I'm going to sample some products with the boys with. So
just to
change it.
So tell us a little bit about the podcast, like who some of your guests are, who the audience is and pitch away.
Yeah. So it's crazy, man. Like I actually just recently had somebody hit me up, which is, you know, it's cool because actually someone's listening kind of thing too. Just starting out with it. I just started to talking about the crew. Didn't really do the guest thing too much in the beginning. I started my first episode I released was like June 1st, I believe, of last year. And I was just interviewing the guys, just having one of my buddies come to the house. We talk about our round kind of thing. And I had like 140 followers at Christmas. Wasn't really taking it too serious. And come December, I was like, really trying to figure out if I wanted to keep doing it. Like, did I want to stay with this particular podcast, start something different, you know, that kind of thing. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go all in. Had the conversation with my wife. I have a young daughter. So the cannabis thing, I don't want yep. certain parents to judge her because of me kind of thing yeah. and all that kind of.
Right.
So we have
some people aren't ready.
Yeah. So we had the legit conversation about it. I don't go to her school with a pitch putt and puff hoodie on. I don't go to, you know, I don't advertise right. it like that.
You're
like
a responsible adult. I get it.
Even like my personal Instagram page is, you'll never see anything tagged pitch putt and puff on that. It's just, I don't need it. And so I said to her, she's like, well, what do you mean you're going to take it more serious? I was like, I'm going to start getting guests. I want to start networking a little bit. I want to get active on social media. I said, I'm going to be spending more time on this.
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, you enjoy doing it. You're passionate about it. You do it. I was like, okay. And like, that's the dope thing about my wife and our relationship. It's cool because like she wanted to do like a vlog thing a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I went out and I'm like, do it. Like, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Like I said earlier, time's too short. It's just don't waste it. Go do what you want to do. Like, make something of it. And she started it for a little while. Then she got pregnant and that ended. But it was like, I wanted her to start it back up and do like a mother thing or whatever. But that's a whole different story. So I dove all in. I started getting guests. I started networking. I started reaching out to people. I reached out to the crew out in Cali, that we don't smoke the same crew. E-Zone and XG, they run that show. I'm a big conspiracy guy, tinfoil hat, XG's mm-hmm. on there. So I had him on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I reached out to him. I met him in Connecticut, connected with him. I've had Brian Athey from out there. I've had you, let's see, Duro. He's a rapper out of Texas, had a huge song about 10, 15 years ago, Ice Cream Paint Job. Yep. I think I went platinum.
After we talked last, I went and re-listened to it because I knew the song, but I was like, I forgot what this sounds like. I went back and listened to it. Yeah.
And as soon as you heard the beat, you're like, oh yeah, I remember this. I did the same thing.
Yep.
And like, dude, I started this in my garage 6 months ago, and I had a platinum rapper on my podcast. Like, what? That's crazy. I had I had Marty from Trouble Off the Tee, one of my sponsors now. Like, stuff. He's an author. He's worked with Jake Adams from Country Club Adjacent, narrated his book. Like, it's just really cool. Like, I had E-Zone, the host of We Don't Smoke the Same. He co-hosts Be Real from Cypress Hills podcast, Dr. Green Thumb. Like, in the cannabis world, that's a big get. That's just cool as shit for these guys even to take the time.
Do you ever think, and I'm curious a little bit, like, because I've done some of this in terms of outreach and, you know, people that like we would love to have on, right? Mm-hmm. And like, and I think one of the things, and you're probably on board with this, is like, you say yes 99.9% of the time, but you also have to be true to the brand and like what you want to do going forward. But I'm curious about like your outreach. Are you ever shocked? Like, oh my God, I just reached out to this guy, or I'm having a conversation with them.
After you fire it.
A little bit of starstruck.
So I'll be honest with you. I watched Tinfoil Hat. I haven't missed an episode in probably 4 or 5 years. Like, I'm a big Sam Tripoli fan. He's a comedian as well. If he comes anywhere in the Northeast, like I go to a Connecticut, I'll go. And he usually brings the funny story about this. I was out in Buffalo when I seen him, and his opener, Howie Dewey, is from Hoosick Falls, which is about 20 minutes outside of Troy. And he was we were going to the late show, and he was out at the bar selling t-shirts. And I recognized him. I said, what's up? And this and that. I was like, I told him we were from Troy and we drove out to Buffalo. This is right after the pandemic, so everything opened up. And he's like, you guys came all the way out here. I was like, bro, we've been trapped in our house for 2 years. Yeah, we took the 4-hour drive. So he's like, oh, my so-and-sos are from that. I'm good friends. I went to school with her from there. And it come to find out it was my cousin. And he didn't believe me. I was like, call him up, man. So he FaceTimes him. I'm sitting there as my cousin Tony and we're talking. And he's like, no shit. So we go to the show. You know, he obviously calls us out, starts roasting us. We're sitting like right in the front. He roasts us for a couple minutes. The whole show, Tripoli, everybody comes out. So there's a casino right across the street. We'll go over, start playing roulette for a little while. Come up, sit next to me. He's Howie, Sam Tripoli. We ended up hanging out with those guys for the whole night at the casino until like 2 o'clock in the morning. But it was this cool, like, little connection. Like, it was worth taking the 4-hour trip because that's something like I could talk about forever. It's an
experience,
you know?
Right? And, but you know, like, you'll never.
Yeah, I'll never forget it.
You know,
but getting XG, who I watch on that podcast, and the We Don't Smoke the Same podcast. Like, for him, they had a show in Connecticut. My wife got me tickets for my birthday last year. We went out for the night. So I see him. So the crazy thing is that we don't smoke the same guys kind of sponsored the pitch, putt, and puff in the beginning. Okay. Just to kind of give me, like, I did something I felt like I needed, like, some kind of backing to make it sound like I had some support.
Yeah.
Kind of,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I know what you mean. Yeah, we felt the same way.
So do something of that nature. Like, I wasn't looking for anything. They didn't give me a dollar. Like, they sent me a little care package with a shirt and some other things. You guys can think about that. But so those guys, like, I went to the show and he seen the logo. I showed him. I said, what's up? He didn't know who my face from Instagram or whatever. And then I showed him the logo on my phone. He's like, oh, shit. So you guys know Eddie Bravo from, like, Joe Rogan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So he's there with these guys. And I'm sitting there talking to XG. Eddie Bravo comes up. And I got, like, a Sam Tripoli tinfoil hat shirt on from, like, probably 4 or 5 years ago. The old school one. Like, one of my favorite ones. And Eddie's like, yo, where'd you get that shirt? And I'm sitting here like, I'm talking to fucking Eddie Bravo. This is wild, right? So I'm like, oh, I got into one of the shows a couple years back, whatever. And he's like, I gotta get a picture. So my wife's sitting over there and she's like, why are these guys acting like they know you? I'm like, I don't know, but this is fucking crazy.
That's the thing. That's the thing. You'd be surprised how many people are just like, they're just, people are just living. They don't really care that much about any of the status stuff. Everybody's just kind of doing the same things.
And when you act like they're not somebody important, you just act normal, they treat you normal. Like, I ran into Brian Callen in the middle of the New York City one time. He's another comedian out from LA. But then, like, with XG, I was like, yo, man, I didn't even ask him to come on the podcast. I bought a shirt. I started actually helping him sell shirts at the table because it was, like, an intermission kind of thing. And I was sitting there slinging shirts. He's like, thanks, man. I'm like, all right. I was just standing there, so I figured I'd start helping. And he's like, yo, just for you coming out, man. He gave me his phone number. He's like, hit me up. I'll come on the podcast. Yeah. And this is the point where I was like, kind of, shit, I'm really going to do something with this. And we were supposed to link up at, like, I don't know, I think it was like early October, but I was still like the back and forth. So I reached out to him in January. You guys should honestly go back and listen to that episode of mine there. And you can see, like, from that episode going forward, that was my turning point in the
podcast. You found the stride a little bit. Yeah.
That was my turning point where he's like, he gave me the his story. And, like, it gave me the motivation to be like, I could do something like this too. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
And from that point, I really, like, this thing took off. I got 1,600.
You got to believe that you belong doing this, because the barrier to entry is nothing. All you got to do is keep going. All you have to do is keep going at it.
If you're not afraid to know, it's easy. Like, I've had three or four no's, and it's because half the time it's because they don't want to deal with the cannabis thing, because they deal with like youth groups and stuff.
Yeah.
I get it. That's cool. Fine. Like, no doubt. No doubt about it.
A lot of it is how you treat people too. Like, I think, like, what I've learned about you in a very short amount of time is, like, you're obviously a hustler, but your mindset is very much like, let everybody just do what they want to do. I just want to have conversations. And I think that's a lot of what we do too. And I think it works because you create an environment for people where they feel comfortable coming and just chatting with you, even though they don't know you, because you've fostered that. So I think that's, look at all the successful podcasts that aren't just like people who are super famous that wanted something to do. It's all people who are good interviewers and or make for a very welcoming, like, warm experience for people. And they just come and hang out. It's like 30 minutes of their day. It's not a big deal.
Right. That's all it is.
You do that.
And
well,
it's cool too. What I noticed is the people who started from the bottom and, like, really worked their ways up, they're the first ones to be like, yeah, I'll hop on.
Yeah.
Like, getting some of these guys on, it's a little bit of a struggle because they're busy. If anything, it's because they're busy, or you're like, I deal a lot with the West Coast.
Yeah.
I have
timing too.
What's that? The timing,
I would imagine.
So, like, I'm sometimes like, dude, I was up on one Friday night. It was like 11 o'clock. I started recording because it was 8 o'clock for them. But, like, to get some of the guests I want on there, that's the stuff I got to do. And I'm like, all right, it's worth the risk. It's worth the opportunity kind of thing. Like, I deal with the Legends Golf Crew out in LA, and we're working on something to collab the East Coast, West Coast. So, like, there's a lot of cool shit you can do on this.
And there's tons of people doing stuff. Like, not everybody even knows all the people, but they've got cool stories, and it's like the layers of connections. It's like that whole Kevin Bacon, like, degrees of separation. You find somebody who's connected to somebody else who wants to chat about XYZ, and then they take a liking to you. Like, you just don't know. It's the most wide open thing you can do is just, like, this is where you can shoot shots. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, you never know what people will agree to.
It's amazing. And something that, like, I think I glommed onto early was, like, everyone has a story to tell. right? Yeah. Like there are stories no matter what. But the other thing is like, you'll run into people that are your best buddies or whatever that just won't do a show because they're uncomfortable, like either having their voice out there, right? It's the same as listening to your voice on a voicemail and you're like, oh, I hate that. I think we got over that pretty quickly, but
we did.
That's the thing with this. Once you get out of your comfort zone and you're okay with showing your face on YouTube or you know, showing Facebook clips, and like I do with like these little commercials every once in a while for my sponsors, and it's so awkward sitting here talking into my phone or what my computer by myself, but like I try not to sound like a robot or I'm doing an ad read or you know stuff like that. But it's like something that they'll promote, and that gets a lot of clicks. Once they promote it, I get a lot of clicks, and then people are, you know,
We said this last time. Like there was some stuff early on where Gibby and I were like, "This is going to be it. People are going to love this episode. We're going to post some stuff. They're going to gravitate to it." And they didn't. And then we posted something. We were like, "That wasn't our best work. Like it was okay, but we could have done better." And people glom onto it. Like you just don't know what's going to resonate, so you just have to keep trying. It's experimenting over and over with different styles, formats, guests, topics. Like you just keep figuring out what people want to hear and then you just keep doing it. That's really what it's come down to. Same as you just said, like you find something that works and just hammer that. Just throw those pitches until you can start mixing some other stuff in. You get more creative as you go because you get more freedom.
Yeah. You get more, and like now I actually just, nothing's in stone yet, but I have a potential monetized sponsorship coming from like a big, pretty big company reached out to me and I was kind of like shocked by it, a CBD company. And I was like, all right. And they're like, we need an offer. All right, here's a crazy story that we let us know how much it is to advertise and this and that. So
did you call your girl who wouldn't come on to ask her what the fee was?
Nah, I couldn't call her. She probably would have charged me, you know, three months of what I'm getting from the company for information. Catty issues, daddy issues, man. But yeah, there was so I'm literally sitting in front of my computer and like I never got paid for advertisements. Like Golfer Gang Networks, as far as with what I've done with Jeff kind of thing. But like I never got monetized in any other way, or I get donated, you know, like a sample pack from the local dispensary, stuff like that, shirts, yada yada yada. So I'm sitting there in front of my computer and I'm going, how much do I charge to read an ad on here? Like, I don't even know. Like, I literally sat there. I'm like, I don't know what, like, how do you even judge? Does it go by followers? Does it go by views? Does it go by downloads? Whatever. So I reached out. Here's the crazy. I reached out to XG from out in Cali. And I said, bro, I said, I hate to bother you right now. This is the only time I've texted him after, like, I message him on Instagram and stuff. Like, I'll send him reels or some crazy stuff I see or stuff like that. Keep in contact.
Yeah.
But I texted him. And my man got right back to me. I'm not even kidding you guys, within a minute. Yo, bro, congratulations. That's awesome. I'm so glad to see you doing, like, to hear that from someone like that, who's like, wants to see you do good as well. He gave me his whole format of how they break it down, started explaining like the advertisement thing. He does 7 podcasts. He produces some and he's on some. So he knows how the game works. Just to get that knowledge from him to know what to charge and what to do was so valuable to me. It meant so much that he even took the time to respond to my text message.
Yep.
I was like, this is crazy.
People don't do that, though. People don't do it for people that they don't think are, like, kind, generous. Like you have to be that way. Like, people you can get weeded out pretty quickly in general, but definitely in this space, if you're, like, just trying to make your mark climbing on other people's backs without offering anything back in return, like, your people are always going to just push you aside. Like, it's kind of a cool little ecosystem because you really do have to be, like, it's the requirement to be successful is obviously to be good at this, but it's also to be really good to all the different people who may come in and out of your life. Like if we all get successful enough, we're going to be in that position where someone's going to be like, well, you come on. And I can't picture saying no, that'd be fun. No. It's the whole reason we started this. It was just to see what the hell it would be like to just have these conversations. And it's a simple concept, but it works.
That's meet new people, man. Like right now. We're sitting down chatting up with you guys, man. This is great.
Yeah. This is our second time in 3 weeks. And like,
and I feel like I've known you guys for a long time, like legit, like just the way the vibe and everything else.
Yeah.
Like,
it's good. It's
great.
Just check.
It's a blast. So, Roger, we ask
most
every single guest, and I haven't done it for a few weeks.
Yeah. We haven't had any new guests. Roger hasn't answered this question yet.
We've kind of kept our own ecosystem a little bit. You are driving home from the course. And it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. you already ate lunch at the turn, so you've got like another 3.5 hours until you're eating dinner. Mm-hmm. So you're hungry, you got to gas up the car and everything. What is your go-to gas station snack when you're pumping up and you've got to run into the mobile station or whatever?
Reese's peanut butter, the sticks.
Oh, the Reese's, sticks.
The Reese's sticks.
Wait, yep.
Like the Nutter Butter joints. Yep.
Oh.
Oh.
Like the Reese's sticks. Yep.
Ooh. You know, I, because here's the thing. Can I tell you something? Reese's has so many different varieties now that when you look at them in the store, there's like, it's just a sea of orange. I get a little overwhelmed. I can't tell the difference. I didn't even know these existed, but now that I'm looking at them, I see them. It's got a little bit of like a Kit Kat, but
yeah,
Kit Kat marries the Reese's piece.
Oh man, I'm in. I am in, Roger. I'm gonna try these out now. I'm gonna make a point to find them.
Oh, so,
they're great,
Roger. I mean, we've been at this now for like 35 minutes, and I said, oh, we're gonna do a quick one, talk about the Masters. But to your point, like this is the glory of
yes, doing these
shows, and like yep. It felt like, oh my gosh, have we been on for even 5 minutes?
Yeah,
right.
So thank you, and tell our listeners where they can find you, how they can, you know, locate all of your content.
Awesome, thanks, man. Yeah, you can find us on Instagram, the pitch, what do I got, the underscore pitch underscore pod underscore podcast puff podcast on Instagram. Also on YouTube, putting a lot of content on YouTube. My co-host JR just purchased a drone, so we're going to be doing some like course reviews, some local courses.
Very nice.
Trying to build that avenue as well to get the YouTube page popping off a little bit.
Yeah.
So
feed the algo and let it take care of
it. Just kind of mix it up, because like I get a little bit of a shadow ban too, because certain algorithms aren't going to pick up a golf ball smoking a dude. Yeah. So I got to go where I can, where I'm wanted kind of thing as well.
I like that.
But yeah, you can find me there. Yeah, guys, I really appreciate it. I love chopping it up with you guys, man. Anytime you need to
get time. Won't be the last time. We're going to make a habit of this. Yeah.
Yeah, this is good, man. The same thing on my end. We'll definitely figure out, maybe even do like a once a month crossover episode and both release
love
kind
it.
Of thing. Would be cool. So.
Yep.
Awesome.
Love it, man. This is great.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Everyone, go follow Pitch, Putt, and Puff Podcast on Instagram. You'll see some content coming out in the coming week, or coming days, rather. We're not going to wait that long. But Roger, amazing.
Thanks,
as always, thanks for the stories. And I'm glad to hear Hank's doing okay.
Yeah, I mean, me too. We didn't even scratch the surface with stories, man. I got stories.
I know.
Thanks, brother.
Later, guys.